Day 28 of NaNoWriMo. Welcome one and all to the Everyday Novelist NaNoWriMo right through for 2020, or as Kitty likes to call it.
The Nano Game Things.
Yeah!
That. I think I pronounced it wrong, but...
No, you did.
I don't think anybody could forget that.
Boy, everybody's having
Nano-gang
a day today, aren't they? Wow, okay, so I am your host...
it's okay.
I am your host, J. Daniel Sawyer. I am joined by your other host...
Kitty Nickian.
And by our panel of writers...
Tori.
And...
Alexis.
I knew you could remember your name. And...
Gail Carriger. Hi, everybody.
Boy, what a day.
I think okay. Gail remembered her name.
Yeah. She was tired enough that she had to say, wait, what is it now? Where's my bookshelf? Oh, there's my name on my books.
I literally do that every day. What's my name? Who am I?
Look at your bookshelf to figure out your name?
No, I just literally question my entire life choices half the time.
You sound like a sperm whale.
The loneliest whale in the universe. Wait, what was that one? Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Oh, how's everybody doing?
Okay.
I'm having an existential crisis with my story.
Cool. Not the only one.
In the story or because of it?
Because of it. I'm having a fictional crisis, I guess. I don't know.
Is the crisis real or?
No, the crisis is about the fiction.
A real crisis about the fiction.
Yeah. My fiction is having an existential crisis. I don't know if it should exist. I want it to continue existing.
Well, you get to make that decision soon.
That's right. A couple more days.
I have managed to top 8,000 words, and I want to delete them all.
What's your word count?
8,348.
Maybe you're at the one-third point, Kitty.
Maybe at the one-third mark. 1,000 words today, almost. 951. That's pretty damn good. Tell us about your existential crisis and what's going on. Perhaps we can help, or at least be sympathetic.
I feel like I'm writing really pretty scenes interspersed with a lot of outline, and outline that's getting more detailed and whatnot, but I keep shying away from actually interacting with my characters beyond the one point of view character. And anytime there's a scene, or it requires a scene that interacts with the rest of the cast, and it's a group of castaways, there are about 8 of them, I just wall of not interested in anybody but the main POV character. I don't care about the other characters, so I can't write her interacting with them.
What does she think about the other characters?
I don't know.
So if she has opinions, that can get you a lot of the way there.
Would it help to have somebody look over it?
I don't know.
Why don't you like your character, your other characters?
It's not liking them, it's not caring. There's a huge, huge difference. I could write a character that I didn't like and was interested in, but I just don't care.
Okay, what about drawing a character from something else that you've written or, like, designs that you did care about more and, like, inserting them?
Insert me.
Thank you.
Into this equation. Insert me. Everything's solved. Everything's perfect. Just kidding. It just makes everything more complicated.
It's not a bad thing with fiction. Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've used any real people that I know very well yet.
I don't think I have either, honestly.
It's fun.
Is that?
Yeah. It can be a lot of fun.
Oh, I have so many good people.
Especially when you sort of chop them up and mix their characteristics around. You're like, oh, wait, if she had his sense of ego, wow, that would be, like, crazy.
If I had my boyfriend's sense of ego, we'd be the perfect human. I'm just kidding. Y'all all know my boyfriend, so.
You can also make great great villains that way, too.
Ooh. And you've just helped me a little bit with that.
Oh, cool.
Because I don't really incorporate people that I know, whom I know. But if you need
a helping... Is my POV character the villain?
Could be. Mm-hmm.
I thought I was writing a villain in the story.
I don't know. I haven't read your story, but you can have your villain be your protagonist.
And also, it depends on who's reading it, because some people might see your protagonist as a villain, and some people might see it as not quite the villain, depending on how you work it.
That's a level of squishy. I mean, for protagonists, you've got your two basic types, your three basic types are your heroine, your hero, or your anti-hero, or your anti-heroine. Yeah. And your anti-hero or your anti-heroine are basically the bad guys, but you're telling the story from their point of view.
But
there's unreliable narrator, too, when you kind of don't know which they are, but that's...
Yeah.
I've written a person doing bad things for questionable reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And a person doing bad things for unknown reasons, but social reasons that, like, honestly aren't surprising and aren't very villainy. Like, they're too tame for that. They're just upsetting to the main character. Like, at large, well, it doesn't have that much impact on the world.
Well, but that's the true... The test of your villain is if they're matched to your hero. A villain doesn't have to be trying to take over the world. They can be just trying, just making your hero's life a living hell. As long as they are more or less equally matched, or the villain is just slightly more obfuscatory than your hero is good at overcoming the obfuscation. Yes. Then the hero is good at overcoming the obfuscation. And so that your hero or heroine has to work for it, then you've got a good villain. Or at least a good antagonist. And then if the antagonist is evil, then they're a villain, too.
I think I started out with a powerful antagonist. Mm-hmm. Not so much one that I really care about going into detail on or know how to. Mm-hmm. If I had a good opportunity to go into detail with them, I could probably... convince myself to be interested, but they're all up in their religious realm, whatever that means. I don't know much about religion, and I can't relate to it very well. I don't know, I'm writing it.
You'll figure it out. Your antagonist does not necessarily have to be a fully fleshed out character. All they have to be is in the way.
Yeah.
Of your main character.
I'm writing a vengeance story without good guys.
I suppose some vengeance stories do have good guys, but one of the fun things about vengeance stories is that vengeance makes everyone kind of dirty, and so everyone could become a bad guy by the end.
That reminds me of the Watchmen. Sorry, what's his name? That dude. Yeah. That everything he writes, like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, The Watchmen, it's all vengeance stories without
Alan Moore.
Much. That dude. Him. The man with the beard.
Yep. The beard, too. Who makes ZZ Top look like the very like pikers.
Anyway, sorry. I just had that thought. And there it is. So, Alexis, how many words did you do?
80.
Okay, so that's 6,546. 46. 88. Cool.
Oh, all right.
How about you, Tori?
13,160.
13,160. 2,041.
I told you I was going to do a 2,000 word day. And you were like, come over here. And I did. I finished it. And then promptly fell asleep because my brain was like, and scene, we're done.
All right, so if you want to hit, you wanted to hit 20,000. So
I wanted to hit 18,000.
18,000, okay, so you got 5,000 to go. So if you do two more days like today, but a little bit more, you can do it.
I'm very confident. That's the question mark.
That's great.
It will be a push and a stretch, but it's within stretching distance.
Well, it would have to be tomorrow because I'm moving on Sunday.
Mm,
okay. So it's... Oh, God.
All right, help so that would be me. A really big day.
Help me, writing gods, but tomorrow.
If you bust your ass tomorrow and go as far as you can, you'll be able to get at least more of the way there than you think you're capable of.
True. I've already reached over what I thought that I could reach, mm-hmm. given this
me
month,
too.
And given, you know, moving and everything. Oh, that's awesome.
Excellent.
Yay. I mean, it feels good to do that, but you kind of want to push it more, mm-hmm. as far as you can over the next couple of days. Wait, it's only 2 days. Wait, what's today?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're recording on the 27th, but we're 1 day ahead. So there's 2 more days of writing and then 1 day of post-game.
Give me 1 more day. I'm just kidding. Okay, 2 more days. Sure.
How's the story going?
Confident, sure. It's going pretty well. I actually did what Kitty did, and I looked back on my last year's nano, mm-hmm. and I was like, wait a minute, why am I not using this? It's good stuff. I just, like, kind of quit on it, and so I've been kind of incorporating it, yep. and now it's kind of making sense, mm-hmm. In terms of an actual story.
Nice.
So maybe in the next couple of days I can tie it up a little bit.
Very cool. How about you, Gail? How was your day today?
It was good. I mean, I did a bunch of work, but I'm on this we were calling the hot rewrite pass right now. So mm-hmm. it's 89.10. So I don't know that I added very many words, but I took some out and I moved some around. So
I'm sorry, 809.910.
Yes.
You added 281 words.
Nice.
Oh, there you go. I added more. Cool. This is not unstandard for me because, like Dan and I have talked about before, I'm an underwriter in that I write bare, and so when I'm doing a rewrite pass, I'm more likely to be adding stuff in than I am taking stuff out.
So. I've worked in that industry. Count yourself lucky that you didn't wind up in insurance as an underwriter. No fun.
Very funny.
Sorry.
I missed something.
I'd throw a pie at you, but they're too delicious.
An underwriter is the person at the insurance company who makes the decision on whether to insure something.
And for how much.
All right.
Let's see. I just finished out with 60,766 for a daily total of 3,665.
Holy shit.
Which is my best of the month so far.
Yes, nice.
And
no, second best.
Oh, you had 4,300.
Oh, I did. I had 4,343 on the second day. Okay, so tomorrow I need to hit my best day. I need to hit 2 best days in a row in order to finish this story. But I am down to about 7 scenes that I know I've got to write before the story is done. Maybe 8, depending on the breaks. And that should barely be doable. So I may finish this thing out with, I've got a feeling this is going to run 75,000 to 80,000, which is 20,000 words between now and the end. But maybe I'll get lucky and it's not that long. But I've got a couple big days in front of me. And I have cleared them of everything so that I don't have anything else to do besides
the end of Nano Panic begins. Yep.
I have nothing else to do besides cut this show, record this show, and write. Everything else has been pushed off. I got all my lumber stickered, all my outside work done.
I'll just make sure to come over and annoy you.
Yeah,
so that I got to
join me for join me tomorrow for a write-in.
Oh, true. Okay, I could do that, actually. I'd be
write-ins
like,
are fun.
You better have gotten 5,000 words by now.
The word races. We'll do a handicap, ooh, you know, ooh, see if you can get 100 in the time I get 1,000, that kind of thing.
Perfect. Oh, I like how you're like, see if you can get 10 words in the time that I get, like, 1,000.
No, 100.
100.
Or whatever handicap you want.
That's very true. I'm going to need a lot of it because my brain
we
has
pie.
Quit.
We have pie.
And you have pie, so that's mm-hmm. the only... And coffee, like, done.
Yeah. And pumpkin pumpkin bread that you can eat and make
We're
sandwiches.
Definitely into the
Do we
Thanksgiving
have any
post
questions
here.
From the forum?
We have. I was just pulling it up. We've got a question from It's not, it was actually emailed in, but it's a question for us. Let's see.
All right. That's exciting. An email. I feel so.
From Melissa. She says, depth and better hooks. I'm really struggling with character arcs in a long series, so that would be... All right, so that could always be fun to discuss, how to constantly evolve and devolve a character.
But that's not what she's asking about, or is that what she's asking about?
That's what she's asking about. Those were her exact words, so...
Okay, so depth and hooks, she's not talking about depth and hooks in story and, like, opening of chapters and stuff like that. She's talking about depths and hooks in interest of character.
I think so.
Either that or it's
I'm not used to thinking of I'm not used to thinking of characters with those particular vocabulary words.
Well, let's start with depth and hooks and move on to character evolution then, I suppose.
Poof.
Well, this is really a question for Gail and Dan, since you have both written long series.
True.
I don't think anybody would call my stuff deep, though. I don't think that's like... It's not Balawick.
Well, there's okay, so there's a few different kinds of depth, right? There's philosophical depth, which is something that you deliberately try to avoid because you like you pride yourself on frivolity.
Mm.
It's like a challenge, you know. How can I make this?
I like
frivolous
to keep a light
possible?
Touch. Exactly. Yes.
Which makes it kind of fun when you accidentally stumble into something with a lot of depth, like you did with Crudrat, or like you've done occasionally with, I think it was in Blameless, had just some wonderful humanistic
depth. The short story I'm tackling right now is way too deep and also dark, and so it's giving me all of these problems because I'm like, it's just, it's so frustrating. Depth is something I try to avoid. I like to stay in the shallows and paddle at the top.
You've accidentally committed art.
I know. It's really traumatic for me. I don't know what to do about it.
I think part of how you should approach character depth really depends on where they're at developmentally. Like, writing a youth is going to be a lot different than writing someone middle-aged.
That's true, but when you're talking about characterization, depth of characterization, you can do that with any age of or development level of the character. It just has to be appropriate to
as long as they're somewhere beyond infant.
Well, the thing with characters, and I'm just gonna assume this is about characters because I find the how to handle depth and hooks in long form actual story of writing just an overwhelming question. That's a whole like masterclass or something.
All right, I'll maybe do a series on that later on then.
But in characters, I feel like characters have the thing about characters to keep in mind is that every character has their own objectives. Every character wants something in every scene. Yep. Every character has something to offer the reader and you, the author, in every scene. And every character has a void that needs to be filled. And that is not necessarily the same mm-hmm. as what they want. That's more what they need. It's what they
and
need from you as the author. As, yep. Yeah, exactly. And it's what they need from you as the author. That's what the reader wants from that character is for that character to get what they need. Sometimes that's a bullet in the head with certain characters. Yeah. But, so like, those are like the three things to keep in mind with every character when they're on screen, when they're engaged in dialogue. And so long as you do that, your characters have depth to a certain extent.
Yeah, you can layer those needs as well. You can have the desire, you can have the genuine need, you can the genuine intrapersonal need, you can have the social need. So an example of those three, and there's many other needs they could have, but an example of those three that would go well in the same character would be the desire could be to get one over, but your character wants to get one over on his brother. The genuine need at the bottom of that is your character needs to feel like he's worth something and he's important and his brother has always been keeping him down. And the social need is, depending on whether your character is a good guy or the bad guy, the social need could be for your character to triumph over his evil brother, or it could be for your character to get shot so that he stops harassing his good brother.
And those are long-form needs. In each minute scene, all three of those character traits are also in play. So if they're sitting down to have tea together in one of my books, somebody needs something. Sometimes it's information.
On the level of the scene, those are your transactional needs, the time-sensitive mm-hmm. needs, the stuff that's pushed by the plot.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's one of them needs to go to the bathroom and can't get out of the conversation. You can make great suspense from that.
Real life.
So a basic kind of another form of looking at this is something like a standard fantasy coming of age novel, like a Harry Potter or something along those lines, which is each book Harry has a quest that he needs to fulfill, the Philosopher's Stone, finding the mm-hmm. Horcruxes, whatever it is, right? But his void is the lack of family. That is his overarching void as a character. And so his journey, so to speak, is a Baldur's Roman coming-of-age journey where he is finding his place in the universe, and the definition under that narrative is he's finding his family or his friendship group. He's establishing his place in the world. And so the broad brushstrokes of something like that kind of narrative is that, but each scene in which Harry and Ron and Hermione are undertaking aspects of the quest, they all, each one of those scenes, they need to find a bit of information about the Sorcerer's Stone. Hermione has to say something interesting and offer the actual solution to the academic side of the equation. Ron has to say something funny and make people laugh, right? Mm-hmm. There's all of these sort of functional needs that are going on with all the separate characters.
And meanwhile, they have to be engaging in the power exchange between the three of them because mm-hmm. they're all three in competition with each other for ego points at the same time that they care about each other, but they also see each other as a threat if any of the other ones are smarter than they are.
Right, and the authorial objective that I would claim that Rowling's has is to ensure that Harry is the actual leader out the back end of any one of those circumstances, because as her POV character, and as that's one of his primary character traits, is his ability to lead. So there's all sorts of things going. I mean, apologies for using Harry Potter, but it's a format that everybody knows.
Unfortunately, everybody's read it.
Yeah. But
hey, everybody, go read a better set of books, please.
But the Pat way of saying this is it's this character motivation that we're talking about. So the deeper characters have motivation and more motivation and complex motivations and multiple motivations, and sometimes they have internal motivations that are at war with each other. Right?
They get a lot of fun when that happens.
Right. Harry wants nothing more than family, but in the last book, what does Rowling do? She isolates him. She sends him off on his own because she sets up a situation where the one thing he can have is to be with somebody else. Of course, his friends have been following him because that's the way the narrative has to work. But he wants family, but he also wants to be alone because he has to go mm-hmm. find the Horcrux and he doesn't want to put anybody else in danger. So those are conflicting character motivations.
And that's the apotheosis of an internal conflict going on since the beginning, where he wants family, but he wants independence. And in each of the books, he's got that season in the wilderness. Yeah,
exactly. But also she needs to isolate in order to increase risk. You often need to mm-hmm. isolate to increase risk. Oh, yeah. So
if I ever have a main character or characters, I try to say, think of them as thinking of the world is not quite how they want it to be, and how do they make it that way? Mm-hmm. So make it the way that they want it to be. So I don't know if that's the right way to do it, but I always say...
You mean they're trying to make it the
they're
way
they trying want to be make it the way that they want it to be. Their world, their specific world. So I've always kind of done that. It just feels natural to me. It might not be right.
I once heard a talk by John Cleese on creativity, and he said that the fundamental instrument of comedy and of all drama is dissatisfaction and irritation.
Mm. Yeah.
You turn the volume knob on those two, and you get basically any kind of conflict you can get.
And also some of the greatest conflict between characters, particularly allied characters, is if mm-hmm. they are all after the same solution, but they all see different ways, mm-hmm. the same end worldview, but they all have different mm-hmm. solutions, so they all have different ways to get there, and so the conflict then becomes in how do we do that?
Yeah, that's when you've got the potential for great tragic conflict, because you have, a shared goal, a shared good that is in conflict with each other, and you've got the goal itself in jeopardy because they're fighting over how to get there. instead of going there.
There's a lot of nuance in this,
too. Using their own way to get there. So,
yeah,
and working together to do that.
And it's not like the active way to think about this is what's motivation, but also there's all these other things, like what is the character's innate, like, belief system, personality, what are their values, you know, what do they care about emotionally, or, you know, what kind of personality type are there, if you want to give them a Myers-Briggs test or something like that, how demonstrative are they in their feelings about things. So you can have a character that's deeply motivated but just doesn't express themselves very much until they, you know, that, like, boils over or something.
Yeah, or the other way around, you can have a character that is highly demonstrative but is not actually deeply feeling.
Yes. Yeah. So hopefully that's helpful.
Hope so. And I'm sure I'll hear from her if it's not, and I can go ahead and follow that up with a series on the regular show once we get back to it on other kinds of depth and hooks and stuff. So.
Cool.
Anybody got anything else?
I'm hungry, so.
Better wrap it up then. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you all on the penultimate day tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
Goodbye.
Bye.